Jeff Verholman here with Gary St. Lion Mangat, representing Vancouver, but making a quick stop off here in Toronto after some training in Montreal. Gary, welcome to Toronto.
Hey, thank you guys. This is awesome. First time in Toronto.
Okay, so tell me about your time in Montreal. I mean, we talked about a little bit about it, you know, off the air here, and what an experience it was. So take me through, you know, how it all came about and what the time was like.
Well, I'm kind of spending Toronto kind of looking back on it, and it's still kind of like, did I really live through that? It's amazing to have trained with the best fighters in the world, and they're all at one camp, such as George St. Pierre, Kenny Florian, John McDessie, Dennis Kang, and the list goes on, Rory McDonald. And it was just amazing to be in that atmosphere, that intense atmosphere, the technical aspect of it, and really realize why these guys stand out as a team in the UFC. And to really kind of see how I place in there and if I can catch on to it or if I even belong there. And that was kind of the main reason, that was one of my main intentions to go there, is to figure that out. And I found out really fast that, you know something, I belong right in there. And that was the thing that I found out, and it was the best thing I could have found out. And I go back to Vancouver and just motivated as I ever am.
Now, I mean, you were talking off the air a little bit, and you were telling me a story about, you know, you didn't get to roll with George St. Pierre, but, you know, you got a lot of pointers for him. Tell me that story again.
Yeah, it was, he walks around at like 195 or something like that, and I fight at 135, so I'll walk around at like a lot lower than what he does. So him and me to roll together wasn't impractical, but as far as the pointers and the technique, there was a part of class where he taught, and it's amazing how he breaks down everything so technically, but so simple. Like, I wrote it down. As soon as I got a George St. Pierre pointer, ran to my bag, pulled out my notebook, and wrote like a whole page on it. And usually when I learn something, I usually get three lines out of it. This time I had just this whole page essay worth of just how to guard pass. And it was amazing. Like, it's just how technically it breaks it down, but it stays in your head. And they drill it. And that's why that camp stands out. They drill things, simple things such as a guard pass to a half guard pass, not even a submission yet. It's just so simple things that they get together, and that's what makes them the team they are, man.
Now, you touched on, you know, wanting to go there and see how you rank with some of these top fighters in the world. Now that it's done, how do you feel you rank as you continue your MMA journey?
The thing is, if I want to grow to be the best fighter I want to be, is that I need to be in a camp like that. And it's solely because of the people that you're training around are also the top guys in my weight class in the UFC. And being around George St. Pierre's trainer for Oz all the time, the guy has amazing insight into the sport. And the thing is, I realized for training in Vancouver my whole life, I fit right in. So they were actually surprised by that too. And my training, my conditioning, the way I was picking up things, the mindset was the biggest thing. My mindset's very much where I like. I think very technical. I don't think very aggressive. I see everything as a human chess match. And that's the same philosophy they bring in. So we kind of matched on that. So it was a lot easier for me to pick up. And now I can only imagine if I'm out there full time and not just for 2 weeks, how I look at my next fight. And I'm actually even excited to find out. So it definitely was a nice awakening. It's going to be intense. But that's what you got to do. I have to decide if I'm willing to sacrifice all these things of leaving certain places like Vancouver, my friends and family all behind, and just be in a secluded area like Montreal where nobody knows me, and I'm just train, sleep, and it seems like that's the way you got to go.
Now, you touched on Firas Sahabi and his training. What is a routine sort of training session like when you go into TriStar Gym and Firas is ready to start his class or whatever?
Like a typical MMA session, which is their first session, is on the Monday morning around 1 o'clock. Is only, it's an invite only. The one thing that they make sure is that all the pro fighters, they only train together. And there's no, you can't have cell phones, you can't be videotaping anything. They're very strict on that kind of stuff. And he has his whiteboard. You've seen that infamous whiteboard where he tells you who you're going to be with. And I've seen it so many times at UFC Primetime. And when I saw my name on it, I was like, I made that board. To me, like, a lot of people wouldn't even care. To me, even to make that board and know that he's penciling me in into what my sparring partner is going to be, it was wild. As soon as it goes, like, these guys try to imitate a UFC fight as close as they can, right? It's like they're very controlled and technical, but you can get hurt very bad. It's a very fine line risk that the sport is when you're training. If you want to become the best, you got to tread that line, and sometimes you got to step over it, the high risk level. And that's what these guys do, and that's why they stand out. And Firas is right there. He's evaluating everything. And the crazy thing is, he overlooks almost, there was probably 30 of us in there, But I went up to him and asked him what my weaknesses and strengths are, and somehow he knew them, even overlooking even George St. Pierre training in that corner, McDessie and the other, all these other top guys. He found something right in that. I've seen coaches that have looked at me for a whole round and have like, okay, I got one or two things. This guy could give me so many pointers. And it was amazing how he evaluates things.
That's unbelievable. We're here with Gary St. Lion Mangat, who just wrapped up a training session for a couple of weeks in Montreal with the TriStar Gym and George St. Pierre. You talked about, you know, the pointers that Firas gave you and George himself. Is there anything, what is the biggest thing that you sort of took from this whole training experience that you're going to bring back to the rest of your pro fights?
One thing, it's not even about the pro fights, it's about the lifestyle I'm about to take on, or that I've already been taking on. If I thought the sacrifices I've already made to get to where I'm at and what I'm representing, it's I got so much more to give up. And that's kind of what this life is like, you know, a lot of relationships and stuff like that, a lot of staying away from family, moving to the other side of Canada, not knowing anybody, all these kind of things. But these are the kind of things that make you mentally strong at the same time. And these are the kind of things when those moments in a fight happen when, you know, you're like, do I even want to be here? You think about everything I've sacrificed, everything I've done to be here. Can I push through this physical pain when all this mental pain has already been done? It's two very different things. And those are kind of, that's the kind of stuff that me having to go to Montreal now, am I willing to give that up? And that's a test to myself. And it's like, I'm looking at myself in the third person at the same time going, Gary, are you willing to do this? And now I'll see for myself, am I willing to do it? So, and then as far as training, I already know what kind of war zone I'm walking myself into now. Am I willing to move to the other side of Canada to walk into this war zone daily, 2 to 3 times a day, and just live and breathe this sport? Because once I'm there, I'm in deep. Like, I'm in deep. This is expected of me. There's eyes on me. And this is that huge step. And I thought huge steps were already done before from going to Tough, like, you know, trying out there and stuff like that. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. The risk keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I just keep getting deeper into the sport. And it's a blessing. It truly is, but to give up a lot, it's a true warrior lifestyle. You can't be just partying, drinking, and stuff like that. You got to be focused. You got to know someone's trying to take your name, and you know something, you're going for someone's name too because you're trying to get to the top of the mountain. And that's what this life of a fighter truly is at the end of the day.
I want to talk about, you mentioned Tough and trying out for it this season. It's starting tonight, Tough 14, as we said, that you tried out for this season. Unfortunately, because you didn't have enough pro fights, you weren't able to get on the show. But you were telling me that the guy that you rolled with is on the show tonight.
Yeah, because they released the list of the guys that are on there. Now, I know that they have the elimination episode. Like, if sometimes they don't have the elimination episode, such as when the Kimbo Slice season was, because they needed him on there. Right. But I think for this one, I think there is only 16, there's like 32 guys, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
So I think he is in it. So I saw the list and his name was on it. It's the Ferguson brothers, BJ Ferguson. And that was the guy that I rolled with. And you know something, I did really well and I congratulate him, but it's strictly because his record was where it's at. And yeah, if I had just more of those pro fights, I would have been on there. But you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything's going on for a reason. And if you're not struggling through this journey, you're not going to appreciate it when you get to where you want to be. And that was just one of those things I had to take in and see him go on, even though what happened in the role wasn't a reflection of it. But that's, you know, it makes me hungry.
Yeah, and you said, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, say you got onto the show, maybe this Montreal experience wouldn't have happened and you wouldn't have the opportunity to possibly move out there and train full time with these guys at this caliber. Mm-hmm. You talk about your pro record and you needing a couple more fights for the UFC to consider you for Tough. I know you signed up with Battlefield Fight League based out of Vancouver, and they do some stuff on Vancouver Island as well. Great promotion out there. I know them very well. Talk about what's up next with them, with you, or pro fights. I know you mentioned maybe fighting down south in the States.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Battlefield is an amazing promotion. Dennis Kang, Jesse Taylor, all those guys have fought on it. It was amazing to make my pro debut as a headliner, such as Dennis Kang and Jesse Taylor being the main events and being with a lot of other top pros that I've been watching. And yeah, they're definitely like the elite organization out there in BC. Their next cards, I'm not too sure, but I know it's going to be in the new year, sometime in New Year's, January or February. Right now, I'm just trying to get a few more pro fights because I can't really... My goal, I always have a goal written at the beginning of the year. My goal was to win the featherweight belt for amateur, which I did January 15th. Then it was to turn pro, which I did in May, won that in 4 minutes. Then right before that was to try out for the Ultimate Fighter. I did that. I wanted to make it, didn't make it, but that made me more hungry for my pro debut. Won that. Now I want to get two more fights, and the thing is Battlefield doesn't have a card till January, so I'm going to try to see if I can get a couple fights in the States, see what's going on. But Battlefield is the organization that I'm signed with, and as soon as their next show is, I will be on it.
Yeah, and I mean, I was talking to Jagal Shani, who is the promoter and runs Battlefield, and he said that, you know, he's trying to run Toronto. You know, there's all these different promotions that are coming up because, you know, MMA's just been legal here for about a year now. So it looks like he might be coming to Toronto February, so hopefully we'll see you on that show. talk about, you know, you said, you know, once you get the three fights, would you be willing to go back to try out for the Ultimate Fighter, or would you try and go the different route and maybe use, you know, training with George and Kenny and these guys to try and get UFC's eye before they do maybe another 135 season?
Like for me, I just take it one fight at a time, right? All I can really do is fight, win fights, and keep going. The rest of it's kind of in Zufa's hands and Dana White's hands, and how they're going to, when even the next season of 135 is going to roll back around, when it's going to come around and what their situation is. They got all these crazy things going on with Fox now, and that the reality show might be like a live reality show. Like, you know, it won't be filmed before. So for me, I just want to keep winning fights, and definitely it won't hurt me if I'm not already signed with Zufa, hopefully that tough rolls around and I go try out again. But like me, I'm just trying to win fights, keep that O, keep it going, and just keep spreading it. Just trying to let people know that you dream big, you achieve big, and that's all I can really do. Just train as hard as I can, sacrifice whatever I have to get to where I need to, and we'll see the rest of our play out. You guys are right here with the journey with me, right? You guys are watching it unfold the same way I am, so...
Yeah. I know, and knowing you and being a friend of yours, I know, you know, Dana White talks all the time about, you know, expanding overseas and whatnot, and he's thrown India out there, and I know that you want to represent that as well, so talk about maybe the potential of one day fighting there.
Yeah, the coolest thing about him announcing the India thing for the first time was right after the tough trials, and I looked around, I'm like, I'm the only Indian Sikh, Indian representing anything here. So it was kind of like, I'm like, oh, maybe he saw me, because my shorts had the India flag on one side and Canada flag on. It was very apparent what I was there to represent. And it's very apparent to anybody that knows me and has followed me what I'm here to represent. I'm trying to become the first Sikh in the UFC. I want to be the first guy. I want to make history, because I was never a fighter my whole life. I was always this small little kid, and I just dreamt big, and I changed my whole life around because I just believed in myself. And I'm just on this journey with the rest of you guys trying to spread inspiration through my journey. I don't know where I'm going to end up. Maybe I won't even be in the UFC. I can accept that. But I am going to try. It's like, you know, get there or die trying, right? I'm going to get there. And I believe it every morning. That's why I train. That's why I wake up. I will get there because I've created it in my mind, and whatever created in my mind has come true. But there's a lot of sacrifices also that I've created in my mind, a lot of failures I will go through to get to where I need to. But, like, you know, anybody that was well-known, Michael Jordan failed so many times. If you ever seen the Nike commercial, that's why he succeeded. And that's why I will succeed also. Failures, tough is a fail for me. Like, you know, I see it, makes me hungry. And that's what, there's going to be many more on the journey. Ask any fighter, ask GSP when he lost to Matt Serra. What happened after that? Everything changed. And that's the same thing. I'll run into a brick wall of something. And I'm just ready for it. Mentally, I make myself stronger every day for it. And we'll see what happens.
Fantastic. Gary, I know you want to shout out some sponsors, and you can throw out your Twitter handle as well. I know, you know, the sponsors are a big part of the journey for you. So go ahead, shout those guys out and give us your Twitter handle as well.
The first thing is I like to thank TriStar Gym. So Faraz Zahabi for having me down there and the guidance that he gave me in that time. Robbie Stein of Eagle Group, who kind of runs the whole operation there, for flying us down and, like, you know, definitely investing in me. Then Mamba MMA out in Abbotsford, Coulter Gale. So if you guys are in Vancouver area and I'm in Abbotsford, come train with me. I teach there full-time and I train alongside Coulter Gale. Revolution Nutrition, Performax Health Group. My physiotherapist also there, Dr. Chan, who's been helping me keep my injuries under par. Ability MMA out in Ontario. They're a new clothing line and they're killing it right now. They have wicked lineup. There's Echelon Fighter Management, which is my management company. They're doing it big. We're spreading everywhere. And yeah, so you got to have a tight group behind you. And these are the guys that are backing me up. And obviously my family that I never get to see. I miss you guys. And you guys are my biggest support group. It's people who I think of every day. And yeah.
Awesome. And Twitter handle is?
Twitter handle, follow me on my journey. I'm always tweeting inspirational messages. Anything you need to get through your day, at St. Lion. And just follow along, man. It's a journey going on right now, and that's why I hop on Twitter. Most of my tweets are done from in sweat, laying in the cage. So any inspirational tweets, that's where they're sent from. I don't just send it out randomly. It's when I've been pushed to my limits that you'll get words of inspiration, because you have to push yourself to get those words out of yourself.
Great. Man. Thanks a lot, Gary, for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.